The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Raising his eyes towards his disciples, Jesus said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for the kingdom of God is yours. Blessed are you who are now hungry, for you will be satisfied. Blessed are you who are now weeping, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, when they exclude and insult you and denounce your name as evil on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice and leap for joy on that day. Behold, your reward will be great in heaven. For their ancestors treated the false prophets in the same way. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. But woe to you who are filled now, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, for you will grieve and weep. Woe to you when all speak well of you, for their ancestors treated the false prophets in this way." The Gospel of the Lord. God, and once again, good morning, brothers and sisters. And once again, welcome back. Spiritual writers for centuries and centuries have recognized that there are three basic stages of growth in the spiritual life. These stages are the purgative stage, the illuminative stage, and the unitive stage. Here's hoping everybody already knows this, but just in case you don't, this is pretty helpful stuff. And I mean, going back to the first centuries, they've always recognized there's three stages in the spiritual life, and everybody has to pass through them. The first stage in the spiritual life is known as the purgative stage. And this is the stage in the spiritual life in which you're still deliberately committing sins, certainly if you're, you know, living in mortal sin, deliberately committing venial sins even. This is the stage you're in. And the stage of the purgative stage is the stage of the spiritual life in which you have to put the axe to the root of sin and reform your life. That's what it's all about. And the purgative stage hurts. There's no two ways about it. Just like there's no painless way to lose weight, so similarly, there is no easy way to overcome your wayward ego. And a lot of people never make it past the purgative stage, you know that? Because it hurts. They think that the whole spiritual life is like that. But would it surprise you to learn that when you make your way out of the purgative stage, the next stage, the illuminative stage, is actually delightful? You know, the illuminative stage is like falling in love. It's the stage of the spiritual life in which you finally know, not just told, but you know just how good God really is. And there's another stage in the spiritual life. It's high and rare. It's known as the unitive stage. And let me emphasize how rare it is. It's so rare that you might go your entire life and never meet anybody who's in the unitive stage of the spiritual life. This is the stage in which all of your selfishness is gone and you cling to God alone. Three stages. Would it surprise you to learn that the eight Beatitudes from the Gospel of Matthew actually correspond to the three stages in the spiritual life: purgative, illuminative, and unitive? And that explains what you just heard here in the Gospel of Luke. This is not the Gospel of Matthew. These are not the Beatitudes. That's why you didn't hear them all. You only hear four. In this retelling of the Gospel of the Beatitudes, here in what they call the Sermon on the Plain, Jesus, who wants everybody to be united with him in the perfect unitive stage, he knows we have to start with the purgative stage. And that's why it starts with the Beatitudes of the purgative stage. Blessed are you who are poor. Blessed are you who are hungry. Blessed are you who are weeping when people hate you. It's urgent. You got to get through this stage. There's no way through it but through it. And that's why they're so direct. And that's why each one of these also comes with a corresponding woe. Four blesseds and four woes. In the Old Testament, there were three prophets who spoke of woes. They were Amos, Habakkuk, and Isaiah. And the reason they spoke of woe to the people was it was a last-ditch effort to tell the people to reform their lives while they still had a chance, because they were about to face impending disaster. So what's the impending disaster that's facing us? Why does Jesus say, woe to you who are rich and woe to you who laugh? What's the impending disaster? The impending disaster is a judgment that you're not ready for. If you haven't passed through the purgative stage, you know, it's going to be tough. It really is going to be tough. And if that sounds harsh, let me just add some more. Let me just say this. In the spiritual life, it is easy to know the right thing to do. It's hard to choose the right thing to do. Have you noticed that? I heard a story from back in the 60s. President Lyndon Baines Johnson, he's trying to work out strategy in the Vietnam War, and in exasperation turns to one of his aides. And he says, it's so easy to do the right thing. I just wish I knew what the right thing was. That might be true if you're president. It might be true in politics. Opposite of the truth in the spiritual life. Don't we all know with laser accuracy the difference between right and wrong? Don't we all look at our neighbors and judge them to a T? Right? Politicians, celebrities, we know exactly what their faults are. And don't we also know what's right? We know who heroes are. September 11th today, we remember what happened all those years ago, and we know who the heroes were who sacrificed their lives to save others. It's easy to know the difference between right and wrong. It's challenging, though, to choose it. You can know exactly what's right and still not do it, right? However, it's a lot easier to choose what's right when things are going badly. And it's a lot harder to choose what's right when things are going well. That's why Jesus speaks the way he speaks here. Blessed are you poor. Woe to you who are rich. Would it surprise you to learn there's nothing good about being poor? There's nothing good about people hating you. There's nothing good about being hungry, except those who carry crosses in this life have a much easier path to walk to heaven. It's a straight path. All they have to do is get up and choose it. And would it surprise you to learn there's nothing bad about being rich or talented? You know, there's some people that are just born talented. And they'll always be rich. They may temporarily be without funds, but because of all their abilities and talents, they'll never want. It's not sinful that, you know, God gave more people some more stuff at birth. It's just that it is so much more difficult to find your way to heaven. And there's plenty of rich people who make it into heaven, but they're usually very poor as they do so. That's why Jesus speaks the way he speaks here. Philosophers tell us that if it wasn't for death, there'd be no philosophy. If it wasn't for the fact that we knew that all this is going to end, none of us knows when, we would never ask the hard questions of what's right and what's wrong. We just never bother. And if it wasn't for the fact there was a judgment coming at the end of all this, we'd never stop to realize that what we do matters. So here's a little bit of help for you for hard times. When things are not going well. We said in the first reading, the world as we know it is passing away. Just remember, when things are going badly, let it train you to seek what is above. Then you will be blessed in the eyes of your Heavenly Father. Amen.